I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Drive is live. We got a little audible here. B. Scott obviously was going to be in for Ron the Show Hughley, who I believe is in Turks and Caicos. I think the flight took off at 9:30 this morning, so I'm assuming they're there by now. Damn, if they're not, that's a long flight. I think the part of Turks and Caicos, the allure or the appeal, if you will, is that it's a decent, it's a pretty simple flight. Luke, you ever been to Turks and Caicos?
Yeah, but on a cruise ship, never flying.
You went via cruise ship,
yeah.
Okay?
Well, that wasn't too bad either.
By the way, that is Luke Moore. That is who now has B. Scott tagged in. Luke Moore. It's always good to have Luke Morrow in the building. But Ron is in Turks and Caicos, so that's why we've got Luke in today, and we've got a big show lined up for you. It is a Thirsty Thursday. Those are always big shows for me. Just the thought of having a Thirsty Thursday is a beautiful thing. So I hope everybody out there is having a great backside of their week. It's about 2:00. Some of you guys may already be off. Some of you may be getting off here in a while. For everybody out there that travels on a daily basis, for all the delivery drivers, the truck drivers, the first responders, the police, everybody out there that sits in a car all day, all the sales guys out there, gals out there. We greatly appreciate you tuning in. We greatly appreciate you tuning in every day. Do it on this Thirsty Thursday. Now, this is episode 1314 of The Drive. Now, Tyler, I don't know why in the hell you put that in a rundown. That is a random number. Is there anything behind it? Did you just want to tell people that?
That's the actual number.
Huh?
I track the number every day. I change it after the show.
But why is it just in the deal today? Is there some kind of significance? Is that a significant number?
No. No, I think I put it in there yesterday, and I think I just kind of stayed in that zone.
Yeah.
But it's always at the very top of the dock. I don't know why I put it in the
okay,
2:10, to be honest.
I didn't know it was always up there, but I just want to make
me
sure.
Feel horny.
Well, that doesn't take much. I just didn't want to leave that off.
Mm-hmm.
We got a big show lined up for you today. The Astros took game 3 in that series versus the Red Sox in impressive fashion. A lot to take away, Luke, from that game. Look, I know for all my baseball purists out there, my traditionalists, there's 162 of these games. Let's not overreact to one. Damn it, you listened to the wrong show. I know there's 162. What kind of fun would it be if I came in here every day with the ho-hum stuff on these Astros? I'm telling you, I saw some things last night that I am absolutely stoked about. And the Texans, they had a joint practice today, which I absolutely love. D'Amico Ryans will tell you that it's the best work in the preseason. I think he prefers it over actual preseason games. We were all out there today. All of Sports Radio 610 was out there, boots on the ground. And it was a good day. It was a good day. We've got Seth Payne, one half of Payne and Pendergast, obviously former Houston Texan. We got him coming on at 3:45. And what I wanted to do there is I've seen – I tend to lean towards the offensive side of the football when I'm watching, when I'm observing. And today, the vantage point that I had to get at to be able to see some of what was going down – really didn't allow me to see much of the defense. I'll be honest with you. I saw one play, and it was Kalen Bullock with a pass breakup over the middle. Surprise, surprise, right? I immediately thought, look over there, one play, and Kalen Bullock's making a play. Bullock, I'm sorry. Bullock is over there making a play. But he's going to come on, and I want him to specifically talk to him about the defense. He kept a pretty good eye on the defense today. And so, obviously, being a defensive lineman, there's a level of expertise there that you just can't get anywhere else. And so, Seth Payne is going to join us at 3:45. Set a reminder. Make sure you stay plugged in there. Hey, Luke, this doesn't happen very often. My man T-Mill. Pants and all.
Yeah, I did.
Sweet-ass sunglasses and all. He went to practice today.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to tell you, before he gets started, because I'm one, I'll take a cheap shot at Tyler in a hurry when he starts talking about the heat. But today was one of very few days since I've been in this business covering the Texans or anybody for that matter, where in my own mind, I'm a strong, bullheaded sunbuck, as if I need to tell you that. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, it's hot. Like, usually I'm like out of sight. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Ain't no problem. Give me a water. Boom, I'm good. Look at the, hey, man. It was hot, bro.
It was warm.
I mean, today is one of them days where them boys that typically play in Carolina, and I know it gets hot in Carolina too, but them boys got to be going, Texans, I don't know how y'all do it every day.
You see that one Panther go down?
I did not.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. One player went down. I thought it was like a knee at first, but then I heard someone saying, no, it's that heat. That heat got him.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, today was the feel out there. Again, very rarely does it happen, but today was one of them days where I was like, I might want to shorten up this practice. You might want to cut a couple periods off this practice, man, because this ain't.
Bro, I went and got in the truck for a little bit and cranked the AC.
Tyler came over there and talked to him. Because I kind of stand out of the way, Luke. I ain't going up there to chit-chat with everybody. I don't know how you stand in a whole group like that and see anything. So I try to get out there where I can see. Tyler came walking over where I was at. I was like, damn, bro, you need a walk. You need an IV? Tyler looked like he needed an IV.
Was my shirt a bit damp?
But yeah, damn, hell. Boy. I mean, your forehead was beaded up. You looked like you had just ran a marathon.
Did you take a shower before coming in here? Or what does that room smell like right now?
No, I like to think I come in with the best game plan possible for me in these Niagara armpits. But yeah, I came in with the right plan, and then I was treating as the sweat and the heat was increasing. I think I'm okay.
Amen.
I mean, not the best, but okay.
Tyler is the king of body spray or strong deodorant, so he'll be that room will smell good. I promise you. As much trash as he talks, and I ain't gonna let the cat out of the bag here, but as much trash as he talks, I better not walk in there and that room be funky. I can tell you
Hell
that.
Hell right
no. Now. I can walk in there and a lot of things happen, but it better not stink because he can't handle that body odor. But hey, Tyler, I know you saw some folks out there today that you wanted to give a shout out, man.
Oh,
we
yeah.
all again, we always we love our listeners out there. We appreciate you guys coming up and saying hello. And. And I know we're grown-ass men, and, you know, a lot of times you're busy, you're working, you don't always say it, but I can't tell you how much we appreciate hearing or how good it feels to hear when, hey, man, there's some folks out there that like what we do. And I know, Tyler, you ran into some folks today.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you said that. I forgot I put it in the doc. But, I typically, out at practice, I like to, at least for a moment, kind of roam around over there in the stands, over in the grandstands with the Texans fans, get the vibe, all that. And all of a sudden, I heard today, hey, T-Mill! Is that T-Mill? Looked up, two fellas. Ended up talking to him for a solid 10 minutes or so. My guys, Nate and Hunter, shout out to you fellas. Said they listen damn near every day, love the show, they love laughing with us. They did say that I should be playing the Paige Spernak drop about how much she loves me more often, but I think Ron might go crazy if I do that.
Well, Ron's not here today, man, so tee that joker up and let that lady sing.
Where
it's
you
all
at,
good.
Paige? I can't find her.
It's all good. It's all good. Let me tell you what, if you're out there and you're listening and you ever see a guy that you think is Tyler, right? Big head, broad shoulders, no ass, he's your guy.
That's a great description.
That is your guy right there. That is T-Mill. That dark beard, maybe a little damp under the armpits, but I'm telling you, man, that head, shoulders, and ass, man.
Yeah, Nate and Hunter, thanks, guys. Y'all were the realest.
That is the way to go right there. All right, hey, we're gonna get to that joint practice. I love it. We're going to talk about it a ton today. But before we do that, I do want to get to these Astros. Luke, I know this is right in your wheelhouse, man. The Astros win last night 4-1, and it was I watched the majority of that ball game, Luke, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think Boston ever threatened. Like it didn't. I know there was a couple of moments in the game when they did, but as I'm watching it, there was never a moment in that game where I was like, boy, we better be careful here. Better be careful here. This for me, one, Hunter Brown was absolutely nails. 6 2/3 inning pitch, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 3 balls, 4 strikeouts. He threw 93 pitches. And here's the deal. By the way, big picture, Hunter Brown, his ERA is 2.45, which among American League starters, only Skubal has a lower one. So he's still, even though he struggled a little bit there on the, I guess, before the All-Star break and maybe one game after the All-Star break, he's still one of the best in the game in terms of ERA. Is that correct? Is that correct
over there? For sure.
We're working it? Okay. Hunter Brown was absolutely nails. And I'll tell you what I saw from Hunter Brown. I don't know what the hell was going on. I got babies. I got Barbies going on. I got the volume turned down. We're reading books. So I'm just watching. I don't know exactly what was going on with the balking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that? I don't know what, but I absolutely love the way Hunter Brown handles stuff.
Better than Fromber.
Maybe he doesn't get as flustered, but I'm talking about just the sense of urgency of like, damn man, what, like when,
as a man should, head on.
Yeah, there's just a sense of urgency with Hunter Brown, and so while he performed great, he pitched really well. I just love the way this dude carries himself, and it looks like, Luke, it looks like we've got the Hunter Brown kind of back on track that we had earlier in the year for the Astros right now.
Yeah, I thought last night was encouraging. He didn't have his best stuff. You know, he threw 93 pitches. Only 53 were strikes, mm-hmm. and so then 40 were balls, so it's almost a 50-50 split. You mentioned the numbers. I mean, he walked 3, only struck out 4. That was almost a 50-50 ratio. There was a lot of foot traffic, but he was at his best in the big spots. There was twice where the Red Sox got the leadoff man on at second, which would have been the tying run, and they weren't able to score him. In fact, the Red Sox were 1-for-10 last night with runners in scoring position. So he did put some guys on base early in innings, but then pitched really well with those guys on base to get out of the jam, and that's why he only allowed the one run. And credit to Hunter, because, you know, Kurt Schilling would always say that if you make 30 starts in a season as a starting pitcher, 10 of those starts are going to have your best stuff. You're going to be unhittable. 10 of those starts, you're not going to have anything out there. It's going to be a tough night. And then it's the middle 10 that really determines how good of a starting pitcher you are, where you have okay stuff, but you have to figure it out. And I think that was one of those starts last night for Hunter where he didn't have his best stuff. He wasn't his sharpest, but then you look up and, hey, he allowed one run to a good lineup in 6 2/3 and gets the victory. He figured it out.
How much, Luke, how much of the ball strike ratio, how much of the action on the base pass kind of deal, how much of that do you attribute to Boston's kind of approach at the plate? In a sense of making a guy pitch, right? There's obviously, we know Bregman and kind of how he approaches plate appearances. He's a tough out, and I don't know how real it is, but it seems like Boston is one of those teams that they got a bunch of those guys up and down that are going to make you work. You're going to have to pitch. They're going to get really, you know, high quality at bats. How much of that outing from Hunter Brown last night, as you mentioned, some of the issues, how much of that do you attribute to, hey, man, it's just a lineup that makes you pitch?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, the night before, Roman Anthony, who's a 21-year-old rookie, drew 4 walks against the Astros. It is a disciplined lineup in Boston, and that was part of it. I looked up after the second inning, and Hunter Brown at that point had thrown, I think it was 10 strikes and had 6 outs on those 10 strikes. So it was funny that he was nibbling a little bit. The Red Sox weren't chasing, but then when he was in the zone and they were trying to make contact, it wasn't good contact. So, you know, when he was in and around the plate, he didn't give up a lot of hard hit balls. Even the Trevor Story double was off the end of the bat the other way on a pitch off the plate. That was really, I think, the only extra base hit he gave up. So it was a lot of weak contact. He was nibbling, but when he had to throw strikes, when he had to be in the zone, it wasn't very hittable stuff. So, yeah, to your point, I do think a lot of that is from the Red Sox, and you could see that when he did throw those strikes, when there was contact, it wasn't very good contact, which speaks to what Hunter was throwing up there.
Pena with a leadoff bomb. Hell, before I got home, I'd won $100. Appreciate you, Tyler. Yainer Diaz with a bomb. And the last part that I want to discuss real quick here, Luke, is I don't know if this did anything for you guys, but it damn sure turned me on. And I don't even know what it means beyond in the moment right now, but until we find out what's really going on with Josh Hader. But Brian Abreu in that closer role last night, did you see him close the thing out?
Yeah.
Am I crazy, or did it appear to be a Brian Abreu that was absolutely jacked to get the opportunity to close a game?
He was vibing.
And close it the way that he did.
For sure. I think he was overthrowing a little bit. He hit, I think, 101
he
on
did.
The gun.
He did.
At one point.
I mean, he hit 100, he hit 101, he hit 99.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, And then the reaction when he closed that thing out, I'm watching it. And I don't, like I said, I don't even, when you got Josh Hader, it's really a non-factor because he's going to be in the eighth. But boy, to think that you got two guys that could potentially be, I mean, the best damn closer in baseball if indeed they you know, they had the opportunity to do it is pretty impressive. I don't know. I got pretty worked up last night when my wife's sitting there like, hey, can we watch the challenge? I said, well, I'm gonna watch Abreu right here to finish, you know, put this game to bed. And I'm sitting there watching him, and hell, I mean, he doesn't have me. He had to get me good and worked up. Not my old lady, but Abreu. Maybe odd that I'm laying in the bed next to my old lady worked up by Abreu. But I did. It was absolutely tremendous. The next up for the Astros, they got today off. They got a 3-game set versus the Orioles. Game one's Friday night at 7:10. Framber Valdez is on the bump. Game two, Saturday at 6:10. Jason Alexander, can he keep up? The last two outings for him have been awfully impressive. I think it was the Mariners and the Yankees were his last two outings, weren't they, when he pitched really, really well?
Sounds right.
And I now know what that means. Game three, Sunday, 1:10 first pitch. Christian Javier will get his second start of the year. We got to get Luke's thoughts on a ton of this Astros stuff. There's a lot here, and we will do that before the day is out for sure. All right, the Texans were on the field today with a joint practice with the Carolina Panthers. All right, we were there, and we saw something. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Ugly is out. Luke Morrow is in. Tyler's on the ones and twos. You're listening to Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The Texans had a joint practice today ahead of Saturday's game versus the Carolina Panthers. Today was a long, hot practice. Action on two fields. First team O on one field for the Texans. First team D on the other field going against Carolina's respective groups, and a lot of really, really good reps today, and they wrap it up at the end. I believe it was one versus ones and kind of a 2-minute situation is what it looked like. I don't know exactly how deep they went on the depth chart, but it looked like good versus good, and so they got a little bit of a little bit of slower paced work, and then they got some ones versus one, some of the best work possible as well today. Extremely valuable day for the Texans. I firmly believe that. So does D'Amico Ryans. Afterwards, it was Cal's cookout day, and I got to flip burgers with the owner of the Texans over there for a while and chit-chat for about an hour, man. And before I left, I said, hey, Cal.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Al, man, what you want these Texans fans to know? He said, it's easy, baby. Show up early, tailgate like you always do, get in the building, and let's have a home field advantage.
So, yes!
There you have it, Texans fans, straight from the owner. They will be who? By the way, they will be here in studio tomorrow.
Oh, yeah!
Cal and Hannah McNair will be in studio tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So, again, don't only mark your calendars for 3:45 today with Seth Payne, but also 3 o'clock tomorrow for Cal and Hannah. I got a few observations, Luke. I was out of practice today, and I got a few observations. Admittedly, it's hard for me when there's two fields being occupied. It's hard for me to catch and run back and forth and try to catch as much first team here as you can. So I stayed pretty dialed in on the offense. I think that is the pressure point this year for the Texans, is what does this offense end up looking like? And I'm going to tell you, this is not necessarily a player or a scheme thing, but one thing that I have been impressed with all year long, and I love the fact that D'Amico Ryans is doing this. I saw it at practice, but I didn't track it and know how much he was on the offensive field. But the fact that D'Amico Ryans, I said this before we ever went to a practice over there, when they fired Bobby Slowick and made, you know, all the moving pieces on offense and decided to go with a new terminology, new coach, all that kind of stuff. I said right then and there, D'Amico's got his defense figured out. The next step for D'Amico, the head coach, is to make sure that his offense is physical, to make sure they're working the right way, to make sure they're communicating. All the football 101 things you just simply have to do, regardless of what kind of scheme you're running, regardless of who your quarterback is, your play caller is, those things have to be the Texans' way of playing offense. And it sure seems like D'Amico feels that way, because he spends a lot of time on the offensive field. Luke, here is D'Amico Ryans talking. I think he was actually asked a question about the defense, and here was his response.
For today, I was really pleased with the way we practiced, the way the Panthers practiced. Thought we got productive work in, is what we set out to do on both sides. Everybody's cooperative, working together, and we were able to get out of it what we expected, right? A chance to go against different schemes, different players, and it was really good work for us, offensively and defensively. Special teams were able to get some work as well. So all three phases, we got better today. We improved, and that's what you set out to do, joint practice, to improve and get better, and that's what we did today. So thankful to Dave and his team for coming down, working out here in Houston today.
There's D'Amico with a 30,000-foot view. Where I was going with it, though, is today, Luke, basically in his audio, D'Amico says, man, I was on the offensive field the whole damn time. I saw one defensive play, and that defensive play was Derek Stingley had a pick, maybe even a pick six. He said that's the only defensive play that I saw. I was watching the offense. So now he wasn't saying, I'm putting my foot on their throat. But just the fact that he's saying that and kind of matter-of-factly saying that is music to my ears. One big observation is D'Amico Ryans is watching and knowing and keeping his finger on the pulse of this offense.
Yeah, and I like that. I mean, I've been saying as well for months that, you know, when you're the head coach, you're the head coach of the whole team. You're not just coaching one side of the football and ignoring two-thirds of the rest of the room. And it's almost similar to like – I'm sure a lot of people out there could put themselves in a situation where, like, the sales manager gets promoted to the boss and then he only focuses on the sales team. You got a lot of other aspects of the business. That's not how you run a successful business. So I do like that idea. And you hear a lot of times that people tell you they learn the most from the other side of the football.
Sure.
Now, you're a quarterback, so I'm sure you can relate to this more than I could, but, you know, it's almost like Shedeur Sanders would say that, where he learns more from his father, Dion, who is used to playing defense and telling him what the defense is trying to do, as opposed to talking to other quarterbacks and them telling Shedeur, like, hey, here's what to look for. And so it's similar here, where if DeMeco could give his input from that defensive side of the football, that perspective, I think that can help the offense even more and bring that different perspective than just the offensive coaches. Not to say, of course, they're not qualified or they're not coaching them up either, but to have that perspective is valuable as well from DeMeco. So it's something I've been calling for, and I'm happy to hear.
Yeah, look, I think DeMeco's just at a point where he's like, I'm not going to win 10 games and go to the second round of the playoffs and lose because my offensive coordinator isn't communicating. My quarterback doesn't have enough control of the offense. My O-line's not physical. No, if we lose, it's going to be because the other team's better than us, not because we didn't set the standard or the tone. I love that about DeMeco Ryans. Now, a couple of on-field takeaways today. Number one, Luke, you'll be happy to hear this, man. The pass protection was significantly better today. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that C.J. Stroud didn't get sacked. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it was clean. The tackles, they struggled at times. The tackles absolutely struggled at times. I did not see that there was a major problem from the inside. There was not a ton of like pocket collapse type situations. And here's the significance of that. If there is just room, right? If one guy gets beat, right, and is willing to hang on for dear life, then CJ has room. If the other four guys continue to work, CJ has room to move. If CJ Stroud has room to slide in this pocket, right? Doesn't have to be pristine protection, right? But if he has room to slide and move in the pocket comfortably, he is going to be deadly. He is going to have success. And today was one of those days where it wasn't super clean. Like I said, they got beat. He would have got sacked a couple times. But overall, the quarterback had space to work in, and it was really, really impressive. The other thing on today's real quick, the competition at wide receiver 3 through 6 is real, y'all. Xavier Hutchinson is worked his way into the first team unit when they go 11 personnel. Braxton Berrios is just making plays. He has a unique skill set, and the ball seems to find him. Had a touchdown today, I think, in 2 minutes. Mechie, there's no denying it. He's out there making plays. It's quiet. It's kind of under the radar. It's not any like huge splash plays, but Mechie is making plays, and he's hanging in there in this competition. And it's going to be hard to keep Jalen Noel, the rookie out of Iowa State. It's going to be hard to keep him off the field. I think the wide receiver, that wide receiver group is worth discussing. All right, let's jump over. Before we have Seth Payne at 3:45, I do want to talk briefly about if there is a weakness with this Texans defense. If there is a weakness, what is it? We'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Tyler's on them ones and twos. Astros get a big dub, win the series versus the Red Sox here at home, and move on against the Orioles tomorrow. And the Texans, a little joint practice with the Carolina Panthers today. And we've got Seth Payne coming on at 3:45. Set you a reminder. I got to get the lowdown on this defense. He's got some defensive takeaways he watched pretty closely today. I was mostly dialed in on the offense. And so before we have Seth on to talk defense, I do, Luke, want to discuss a look, this defense is – I don't have any hesitation in – this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. This defense, assuming they stay healthy, and I'm saying that even with, you know, the C.J. Gardner-Johnson injury. And I'm saying that with not knowing what the hell Christian Harris is going to be. This is going to be a Super Bowl caliber defense. If they stay healthy, the Will Anderson, the Danielle Hunters, the Azeez Al-Shaair, Jalen Petrie, obviously the two corners, Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr., if they stay healthy, they will absolutely be one of, if not the best defense in football. They're that damn good.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. You mix D'Amico into the mix in terms of the caliber play caller that he is, play schemer, designer, the feel he's got for in moment, when to call plays, pressures, play coverage. I mean, he's got the ability to confuse quarterbacks in a big way. This is a Super Bowl caliber defense. If there is one weakness, Luke, it is in the depth of cover defenders. And we've talked about this multiple times on this show with the secondary. You have got as good a 1-2 punch at the cornerback position as there is in football with Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamari Lassen. I mean, that corner combo right there is second to none. Right? The problem is you have no clue beyond those two right now what you have. And when you couple that with your nickel defender is truly a nickel defender. Don't make no mistake about it. You don't have a slot corner. You've got a nickel defender. You've got a guy in Jalen Petrie that is a really, really good pass rusher, that is a really good run stopper, and that plays the game with instincts all the way around. But his weakness, if you will, is the coverage aspect of playing that position. So this is a nickel defender more than a slot corner, right? So you can argue even on the first string, you've got a cover issue if there is an 11 personnel with a slot receiver, in the game. You may have a little bit of a weakness, a little bit of a shortcoming there. The depth players here are I think what's at question for me, or at least a something that we've got to watch. Now, I will say this. Saturday, Luke, was, although it was a very small sample size, Saturday was a day where early in that game, Jalen Smith, the rookie corner out of USC, wasn't even a coverage situation. He comes off the edge and in run support, wraps up and makes a tremendous tackle. I don't remember if it was a screen or a run. I don't know what it was, but makes a tremendous tackle. And so he's off to a good start. Later on, you see Mallette, who was a guy they picked up that was most recently in Baltimore, got injured up there, but most recently was in Baltimore. Again, late in the game, he comes up, again, a corner, a more cover defender, making a good, solid tackle. So I think they've got guys, but we just don't know what they have at that cover position, at that slot corner position. And that is the one thing, Luke, I think, that if anything bites this defense, it could potentially be that.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only other areas still for me, maybe like interior defensive line, the defensive tackles, linebacking core.
Yeah.
If Christian Harris does come back and you get something out of him and with what speed has shown, I mean, that has a chance to be a really good linebacking core, I think. So you have some really talented players on all three levels. But to your point, I think I'm with you with the depth. And then also, if C.J. Gardner-Johnson's out and if we get nothing out of Jimmy Ward this year, you lose two veterans at that safety position. I mean, there's a reason why they got C.J. Gardner-Johnson for a reason this offseason.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So the safety position and that depth that in the secondary, for sure, I agree. With that said, though, I also still – like, I almost feel like it's still, like, a little nitpicking where that is the biggest concern. If you were to ask me, like, how concerned am I? I'm not overly concerned. It's almost like – when Megan Fox was all the rage and people were pointing out, like, yeah, but she's got...
Was.
She's got... Well, yeah, still is, but that new movie, too. She's made a nice comeback there on Netflix, wherever that movie is. But when people are pointing out that she has, like, club thumbs, and it's like, yeah, I mean, if that's the one thing you can criticize on Megan Fox, I think she's doing okay.
So you can't take her bolt. Big deal.
Does she really? I'm going to have to go look it up now, boys.
Yeah, people would say they look like toes. They look like your big toe, her thumbs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be hard for me to overlook if I was laying next to her. If I was laying next to her every day.
Okay.
So, I know I could overlook it, but I'm just saying I it would be something that I noticed. I mean, it'd be on my mind. I mean, I'd tell her about it, but it would definitely be on my mind.
Well, and I guess it's similar to the Texans. Like, it's on my mind. It's something I noticed, the secondary, but, you know, I'm still not going to kick them out of bed for eating crackers.
You know, Luke, I think it's, to me, it's more of one of those that the concern level's low until it becomes a concern. You know what I mean? Like the concern level's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Ah, okay, whatever. But if you look at D'Amico's defense, they have had a lot of injuries in the secondary over his 2 years here. And if it becomes a problem, you know, it could be a major problem for this defense given how much they want to pressure and kind of how they want to play defense. Now, to your point, I trust him. I'm not one of these guys in the media or fan or anybody that's like, I trust in D'Amico, trust in Nick Caserio, trust in this. And I don't typically play that game. Like that's silly to me. We've seen enough from D'Amico Ryans of rolling a secondary out there that I may be able to name one guy and you got a chance to win a game. So I firmly believe that D'Amico Ryans will have those guys, whoever they are. I think he'll have two or three extra cover defenders coached up. Is it the rookie out of USC that I mentioned, Jalen Smith? The Miles Bryant kid that's a true nickel defender, is he coached up? Hey, does Jalen Petrie take the next step with his coverage, you know, his coverage ability and shut us all up? So I got confidence that D'Amico will figure it out, but that is the one spot where you look at this defense, because I disagree with you with the interior defensive line. I've been hard on those guys, and I'm still in hopes that one day they find that Aaron Donald-type player that's just a game wrecker in there. They don't have that, but what they've done this year is they've gone out and gotten deeper as the rotation goes. Like, assuming they can stay healthy, they're going to be four or five, maybe even more deep, of really quality defensive interior players, right? And I think they've improved there in general, not with that high end, that guy that just wrecks a game, but I do think they got some pieces in there that are going to be just fine. So that secondary is it for me. Real quick on a tight end update. We lost Brevin Jordan for the season earlier this week, wasn't it? Thursday, was it Monday or Tuesday? We lost Brevin Jordan for the season. So we wonder, you know, what are they going to do at tight end position? Will they go out and pick up Trey McKitty, who, you know, again, is a guy that at best you hope a month into the season could help you learn the offense and maybe help you if he has to, but you hope he doesn't. We had also had a report that Irv Smith had been in street clothes and was not practicing. Irv Smith practiced today. Practiced a lot from what I saw. Irv Smith, Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover. Again, I know I'm higher on Irv Smith than most, but to have Irv Smith in an emergency situation with Brevin Jordan or anybody else going out for that matter is clutch. I think I like Irv Smith in this role. I think he can do He is a poor man's Brevin in a sense of he can help you in the run game. He can help you in the pass game. Now, obviously, you lose the explosive weapon that Brevin Jordan was, but you do get a savvy vet that knows how to survive, that'll fight his ass off. Notice that last year, was played in some big games last year. So you lose Brevin Jordan, which hurts, no doubt about it. There's no sugarcoating that. But to have Irv Smith, a veteran behind him to kind of roll in there, Luke, is clutch. Now that we know he's healthy, at least we see him on the practice field, I feel a little better about the tight end room.
And that's been the big thing for him. I mean, that's where he's also similar to Brevin Jordan, just been the injuries. I love Irv Smith as well. I mean, second round pick out of Alabama. I had high hopes for him in Minnesota. Just really couldn't stay on the field. He had some bad drops over the course of his career as well with those hands. But the biggest thing for him has just been the health. He missed an entire season. He missed another half of a season in Minnesota. They moved on. You know, now he's on his third or fourth team. And I like the potential, the skill set. He just hasn't been able to put it together because he hasn't been able to stay on the field consistently. If you could get some of that health from him, which, again, these are kind of the questions or the things we were saying about Brevin Jordan as well. If he could be healthy, you bring a unique skill set to this offense. So I'm with you. If you could get a healthy Irv Smith this year, I think he could certainly contribute to this offense because he is a unique weapon. He just hasn't, unfortunately, been able to stay on the field throughout his career.
It's Luke Morrow. He is in for Ron, the show. Ugly, you're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. And y'all, Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN, one of my favorite analysts, if you will. He put out a ranking. You know, I'm not typically a rankings guy, but when it's Dan, I'm in. When it's Dan and quarterbacks, I'm in, baby. Dan Orlovsky graded the top quarterbacks in the NFL in seven different categories, right? They're all quarterback skill sets, arm strength, pocket presence, on the list goes on and on, ball placement, mechanics, second reaction, rush ability, all these different things, right? Where did CJ land? Where did CJ land according to one of the best quarterback offensive minds in the media game, Dan Orlovsky? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.